Our scripture reading this morning can be found in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to weep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Ice cream, barbecues, the beach, concerts, a kiss from the glistening sun, vacation, shorts, sandals, sweaters, meetings, schedules, appointments, exhaustion. Do you sense the tension from a light, airy, and carefree demeanor to the preoccupation with your future self and upcoming responsibilities? The feeling that the freedom is slowly, well, quickly disappearing and being replaced with a chaotic way of being. Have you ever noticed there is always a sense of remorse when summer ends, as if the apocalypse is approaching? The day after Labor Day is considered doomsday, the return to normalcy, as some have described it. And even if you are retired or less active, you are still confronted with the challenges that present themselves from season to season, be it health or finances, the list can go on. Or if you're a child, all the flyers are out reminding you and your parents, hey, we have your back to school supplies. Come and get it, it's time. In other words, a change in season brings new concerns and highlights existing realities. But why do we get so worked up about change and transition in general? What are we really afraid of? Is it the fear of the unknown or the inability to prepare and control the unknown? And when was the last time you heard someone really excited about change? Even if it is a positive change, like a new job, a relationship, an expanding family, if you listen closely, people briefly state the positive about their transition, but, there's always a but, their positive statement is quickly followed by a lamenting caveat such as, I'm a little nervous, I'm a little scared, I'm a little concerned, I've never done this before. Today's scripture is a profound yet simplistic reminder that change is inevitable. The writer of this scripture essentially covers every universal and human condition under the sun. The writer is so real and in our faces from the very beginning. Verse 2 states, there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. Verse 2 pretty much sums up the trajectory of our lives. And the remainder of this scripture gives us the various scenarios that we might contend with as we walk through life. At the end of the day, we are born. We navigate the best way we can. We struggle. We embrace joy. Hopefully, we use the gifts that we have to help and to love others. And we aim to leave this world a little better than how we found it before we pass the baton to the next generation. Ecclesiastes 3 is a radical declaration to embrace life in all its splendor, in all its mystery, wisdom, and complexities. But if we take a deeper look at verse 2, our key verse this morning, the reality is that in our lifespan, we are constantly being born into something as people of faith. Every day we have the opportunity to begin again, either in our vocation, either in our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and our relationship with ourselves. It is a great honor to engage and even wrestle with life in this way, because life is both precious and fleeting. And yet somehow, we manage to minimize our daily beginnings and build large monuments to memorialize our endings, as if daily beginnings are trivial and insignificant. There is a discrepancy there. Endings and beginnings, beginnings and endings are two faces of the same coin. Therefore, we do not have to demonize a beginning of a thing, nor overlook it. Looking across this sanctuary, there are over 75 beginning narratives in this space. And surely it was not easy to become the beautiful person you saw in the mirror this morning, because at some point in your life, you had an ending. You had to deal with being uprooted. You lost loved ones and friends, jobs, homes, health, vision, and direction. Your only option was to cry out to God because words betrayed you. Desert season ripe with suffering and loss are difficult. We know this on a personal and societal level. This week, Chicago was in every news outlet discussing the 74 bodies and souls impacted by gun violence. The tally is actually more than that, because the news did not account for the families and the community members that were traumatized by the loss of their loved one. And as I speak and as you listen, white supremacists are rallying at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to remember the one-year anniversary of Charlottesville, Virginia. These are dark days. We have heavy hearts and much, much work to do. And despite it all, we as believers are called to continue to walk in faith. But how do we continue on in such circumstances? Well, our text this morning declares and even reminds us that there is an ebb and flow to life, a give and a take. Feel free when the bottom falls out, but give yourself permission to laugh out loud, too. Be angry at loss and injustices, but make room to celebrate small victories and progress of change. Be wise and alert in your interactions with people, places, and things, but don't lose your sense of kindheartedness and wonder along life's way. Yes, it's okay to be anxious and frustrated at times. We are human, but it is also okay as people of faith to be hopeful for what can be. When it is dark, we need to light a candle. It is so easy to be consumed by our circumstances that we end up missing and consequently dismissing God in our midst. As adults, we have become so grown and proper that we forget to welcome flexibility and rejoicing in our day-to-day lives. Now, it probably sounds pretty counterintuitive, that in hardship, flexibility and rejoicing is one of many prescriptions that our soul needs. Children are masters of flexibility and spontaneous joy. But as adults, some of us have lost these attributes. We need a theological revival of joy. We know the God of the oppressed and of suffering, but how acquainted are we with the God of joy in our day-to-day lives? Henry Nouwen, in his book, You Are the Beloved, Daily Meditations for Living, wrote, "I know real joy comes from letting God love me. Whether it is through illness or health, loss or fullness, failure or success, poverty or wealth, rejection or praise. We all have something that keeps us in our feelings." Thank you, Drake. "Things that agitate us internally and externally, that remind us that we nor the world are perfect. But that doesn't mean we have to go through life without some peace or happiness as we work out our vocation and fight injustices. Read through the scripture and it becomes evident that even Jesus and the disciples simultaneously held both pain and joy. Should we be any different? That balance as we go on, that is how we keep living between the sorrow and the joys of life. Beloved, I challenge you to try a new approach as we move into the fall. Instead of viewing life through the insulated lens of hectic schedules and anxiety, let's allow room for the Spirit of God to break through our busyness and take the God of joy off the sidelines of our lives. Let's return to having a childlike curiosity about the world, which has been co-opted by pessimism and fear, insecurity, jealousy, and desensitized attitudes, and instead invest our time in daily discerning the new ways in which God is trying to move in our life and in the world. As we swap out our relaxed summer days to prepare for the crisp fall breeze, in this moment, we validate that changes are not easy to navigate. But there is still space within us to hold the tension between embracing new beginnings in the midst of discomfort and doing so with an open and rejoicing spirit. May it be so. Amen. Let us take time to hear what the Spirit is saying in our midst.